Good morning. Sorry for the late start. Got talking back there. All I want to do is open in prayer, and JT, will you come join me? All right. And Lord Jesus, we bow before you this morning and declare again with our words. We know that our tongues are a rudder. They're described as a rudder. Give us direction. So, Lord, we say to you and with one another again, Lord, that we recognize you are God. You're all-powerful, all-capable. Our lives are not our own, but are in your all-loving and all-powerful hands. And Lord, we believe in you. Our faith is in you. And Lord, I pray that our diligence to seek your face and then the obedience of our faith would match up. Lord, in love, we want to keep your commandments. And in faith, we want to be obedient to you and your word. So, Lord, maybe we discover more of your word and your ways this morning. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen. So I think JT is going to make our introduction this morning.
Yep. All right. We got Coach McHugh speaking today about dependability. So Coach McHugh, come on up here. And it's about you today.
No,
don't suck.
I'll do my best. Is this on? All right, it's on. Can you guys hear me okay? Oh, yeah, you can hear me. Okay, raise your hand real quick if you guys were here a few weeks ago when I spoke. I'm going to try my hardest to be very efficient. I will concede that speaking on a topic rather than speaking on your testimony or speaking from the heart is much more difficult to do. So there was some research involved, and it's, I don't know, I might blow it. It might be awful, but let's get after it. So, character quality for the month is dependability. Just this morning I had a good conversation with Orin, and when I was thinking about it and talking with a few people about being dependable, there can be a lot of characteristics that fall into play with that. You know what I mean? A lot of these qualities can overlap. We talked about punctuality in September. I think punctuality can be directly connected with being dependable. So my goal today is to share some perspective on the value of being dependable in business. We're going to talk about that side of it, dependable businesses, why businesses are successful, what it means to be a dependable worker, some character qualities for that, and then we're going to ultimately finish with what we can learn from Christ about being dependable, the example that Christ has set for us, ultimate dependability, because at face value, we are completely dependent upon him and the gospel. We are lost, we are broken. And if it's not for his faithfulness to us, we would have no hope. So what I first want to do is I want to start with a question, and this is not going to be rhetorical. So I want you guys to throw back a little bit here. I expect you guys to get the answer to this really quick. If I asked you, what is the most profitable fast food chain in the world, what would you say? Whataburger? So hold on, let me digress there for a second. I am from Virginia, and I've never had Whataburger till I came here. There's no Whataburger on the East Coast. Say it again. Say it loud for everybody. McDonald's. I didn't. You gotta say it with your chest, huh? McDonald's. McDonald's is the most profitable fast food chain in America at a whopping $35.6 billion in revenue a year. Somebody raise your, let's do this way. Raise your hand and guess the second. Number two. Dane. Burger King. Burger King's on the list. It's not second. Starbucks is on the list. Wendy's. Subway. Subway is number two. I want you guys to look at the gap here. McDonald's is kind of wiping the competition, huh? Raise your hand if the Big Mac's your favorite burger. Yeah, if you raise your hand, you're lying. Let's just get that out in the open. No, I'll dab in a McFlurry every now and then, or some chicken nuggets, but I don't want to go to McDonald's for, yeah. So let's look at the rest of this list. Starbucks, I heard, 10.6 billion. Wendy's, 8.6 billion. Burger King, 8.59 billion. So I think everything on this list was listed on here. Any guesses, real quick? And if you say because they're dependable, then you're just a teacher's pet and you're a suck up. Why McDonald's would be at the top of this list? There's a lot of them, yeah? Because somebody was going to do it. Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's obviously more McDonald's than there is Whataburger. McPick 2. Marketing, yes. So, okay. Reel it in for me. Let's go to another question. The people have obviously spoken. McDonald's makes bank, right? With their Big Mac, that's not any good. So I looked up, what are the most popular burgers? Just fast food burgers. Now, I'm going to concede here, the first three burgers on this list, I did not put them up here, the first three burgers on this list are part of chains that are not on the list that we just saw. Number one was In-N-Out Burger. Now, I have to say, I'm from a foreign country. I've never had In-N-Out Burger. I know, man, it's like I've never lived, right? Numbers two and three, Five Guys. Two different burgers from Five Guys. Now, I do love me some Five Guys. You can build your own burger. I'll put some A1 steak sauce on my burger. Oh, yeah, it's good stuff. So, where might you think the Big Mac falls? Last, where it belongs. 10? So let's go down the list. I put some highlights. Wendy's is Baconators at number 4. Also known as a heart attack on a bun. Also known as Ron Swanson's preferred burger. Wendy's Baconator. Burger King's Whopper is number 6. These are both burgers from chains that do not make a lot of money compared to McDonald's. Number 7 is another Wendy's burger. A quarter pounder, quarter pound single. I didn't see it on the list. I would put that on there as well. Finally, we get to the Big Mac at number 9. Finally. And then there's a few others I wanted to point out. Wendy's Hot and Juicy Double, which I've never had. There are 3 Wendy's burgers on here before we even get to the McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese. All of you guys who are fans of The Longest Yard can think about Cheeseburger Eddie right there. Nothing a quarter pounder can't fix. All right, so why are we talking about burgers? Reel it in again for me. Reel it in. It's curious to me. Everybody was pretty quick in realizing that McDonald's is the most profitable. It's curious to me that nobody thinks their food is the best. So let's explore why the heck that might be. Obviously, I'm getting to the point that McDonald's is a dependable food chain, but let's consider why they're very dependable. Yes, there's a lot of fast food chains everywhere, but in case you guys didn't know, there are actually more Subway restaurants across the United States than any other fast food chain. Think about it. They're in every little gas station corner. They're in every mall. Subways are all over the place. Number 2 on the list, there's more Subways, but they do a third of the profit of McDonald's. We've got the Baconator at number 4, doing a quarter of the profit of McDonald's. So they're doing something right, even though their food's not very good. So let's think about this. Here's a quote from an opinion-based website where business owners and such can post articles that are their opinion. It's, you know, got opinion in bold there. This was written by a business owner talking about dependability being the most important character quality for a successful business. And this is what she said. No matter where in the world I am or what time of year it is, if I walk into McDonald's, I can expect on getting the exact same Big Mac. The fry machine's on the left. There's always ketchup. The whole business is built on the philosophy of amazing consistency with just acceptable quality. It goes on to say, I will choose 100 small wins stacked on top of each other day in and day out over a few meteoric successes surrounded by an unstable pattern of failures. If you shoot for the moon, it's easier to fail, right? Small successes, that's McDonald's kind of MO. You might make the world's best burger In-N-Out on your best day, but McDonald's makes more money than you. and they do it by being dependable. Interesting quote, written by a business owner, by the way, talking about being dependable. All right, what makes McDonald's dependable? I thought about it, I read about it, and I thought about my experiences with McDonald's. You may have had different experiences with McDonald's, but these are the observations I have made about why I feel like McDonald's sets the tone for dependability. Number one, price. They pioneered the value menu. Also, fun fact, they were the first fast food chain to incorporate drive-throughs, because in the 60s and 70s, there were armed services people who could not get out of their car in full uniform. So they incorporated the drive-through on Army bases and then all over the country, and now everybody has a drive-through. Price, two McDoubles, small fry, and a water, $3. That fills me up. You don't have to like McDoubles, but I'm just saying, that fills people up. It's $3 right there. That is change in the center console of your car. When I was in high school, that was go-to. I still always drink water because I'm like, oh, soda makes you fat, so I'm going to justify it by getting McDoubles and fries. The justifier. Look up stereotypes for workout people. Number two, cleanliness. I cannot speak to you guys, but I'm sure every last one of you in here can think about a holy crap moment at a Taco Bell when you walked in there and were like, all right, what happened here? Bathrooms are always clean at McDonald's in my experience. The restaurants themselves are pretty up to date. You know, a lot of them are putting in the whole you can order from the kiosk and then you can go pick up your food. They're pretty state of the art. The bathrooms are kept clean. Speed. You get your food fast. This is a quote from the former McDonald's CEO in 2010. McDonald's doesn't put something on the menu until it can be produced at the speed of McDonald's. I have to wait in line for my chicken at KFC. I have to wait for the quesadillas to get cooked at Taco Bell, right? If I go to Five Guys, I got to go through a line and I got to wait. I'm in and out of McDonald's in a couple minutes, every single time. They're fast, they're clean, they're cheap. That's what makes them dependable. That's where they make their money. That's where their MO is. People know what they're getting. Did you know there is something called a Big Mac Index? This is a true story that I'm not going to go into the details of it because, to be quite honest with you, I don't fully understand it myself. But essentially, there is an economic formula for valuing the cost of currency next to each other, like euros to American dollars, and if you're exchanging them. And the formula includes comparing the price of a Big Mac in euros versus the price of a Big Mac in American dollars. The consistency and dependability of McDonald's and their food and their service is so constant that for the last 21 years, there is an economic formula in place that helps them understand how to exchange currency. Raise your hand if the Big Mac still sucks. Let's just call a spade a spade, okay? That's crazy to me. McDonald's is profitable because it's dependable. It's consistent. When I go to McDonald's, I know, generally speaking, there are always anomalies. There are always exceptions. I know what I'm going to get. I'm going to get a clean store. I'm going to get quick service at a cheap price. And I'm going to get mediocre but good enough food. It's not going to be the best. It's going to be good enough to fill me up. I can get, you know, families with kids, Happy Meal. You're going to get a toy in your Happy Meal. It's what we're going to get, okay? So now I ask myself, how do we think about a worker, a dependable worker? And what I like to do when I try to think about how to talk about characteristics, if I'm communicating with kids I coach or if I'm just talking with somebody, how can I sum up as quickly and easily as possible the definition of something? A church that I attended back in Virginia, their slogan was, making more and better disciples. How can we as a church sum up our entire mission, you know, based on the Great Commission? How can we sum it all up into something that's kind of catchy, like Nike, just do it, into one simple thing? So what I want to talk about is some of the expanded characteristics of being dependable, and then I'm going to end with you with what I think, me personally, is what I would describe being dependable in one sentence. And I'll give you some examples of that. So I started looking up, what do business owners describe as a dependable worker? Timeliness. being on time, being 5 minutes early, consistently, always. Not somebody who shows up 10 minutes late once and says,
"Well, this is the first time that's ever happened to me. I'm always doing my work. I just was late once. All right, leave me alone."
No, you screwed up. Own it. Productive. Are you a productive worker? Are you an employee who can be relied upon to complete jobs not only in a thorough manner, but a timely manner? It shouldn't take you 3 hours to do a 30-minute job, right? Productivity. Works without supervision. Bosses, coaches, teachers, they should not have to constantly look over our shoulders to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. Don't look to cut corners. Do what you're supposed to do, regardless of who's watching you, right? Works without supervision. Attention to detail. If Coach Hardy in the back says, "Hey, Coach McHugh, can you water the infield?" And I'm like, "Heck yeah, man, I got you." And I go out to the field, and I make a swimming pool. Did I do my job? Technically, I watered the infield. Technically. But did I pay attention to detail?
No.
Is that field playable? I could walk away from that. There's two perspectives you can look at a mistake like that. And I'm being over-exaggerating this for the sake of the argument here. But I can very easily take one of two routes. "Coach Hardy, I watered the infield. It's your fault for trusting me to do it the right way." Or, "Yeah, that was pretty stupid, wasn't it? I probably shouldn't have put so much water on it." There's different perspectives of that. Take pride in what you're doing is the point I want to get from that one. That's going to be the overarching theme of being dependable. Take pride in what you're doing. Okay? When I was back in Virginia for the last 3 years, I was a head basketball coach of a middle school team. And I loved it. I had an awesome group of boys. This is a story I'm going to tell you about last year's team. I had a lot of eighth graders. They got after it on the court. I set the culture. I stuck with the culture. Those guys worked. I had no problems with them on the court. I knew that there were some knuckleheads in the classroom. No big deal. About halfway through the season, I'm getting some teacher reports that most of my players are having some issues with being a little bit late to class. There's a rule that when the bell rings, you have to be in your seats, right? Did you guys have a rule like that in high school? Bell rings, you got to be there. Well, the bell rings, and what are the kids doing? They're hanging out by the lockers, or they're saying goodbye to their females, or they're sitting there, you know, trying to trip people. They're being eighth graders. And the teachers are doing what? They're supposed to start class, but they're standing in the hallway, and they're going, "Drew, come on, Drew, get in here, all right? It's time to start class," right? I don't mean to pick Drew out. He's just the face I saw, and I know his name, so. It's not a devastating issue, right? It's not the worst thing that could happen for a student. It's not like they're fighting, or it's not like they're bringing drugs to school or anything like that, but it's annoying. It's annoying for teachers. I'm sure there's employees in the back right here who used to teach and are like, "Man, I've dealt with it." It won't be the last time teachers have to deal with it. Kids were also, my kids were also getting up during class. They want to go to the bathroom, you have to get excused. You go, you do your business, you come back. Well, what do kids do? They walk around. They stick their head in the window and they're, you know, they want to meet up with their girlfriends. And so they're walking around for 10, 15 minutes. They're wasting time. So about halfway through the season, I'm getting multiple reports of this. And one day I came in and I got a report of about 9 of my 15 kids at once. And I said, "All right, that's it. We're done. They have towed the line long enough." Because that's what they're doing. They're towing the line. Right? They're not gonna blatantly go too far across it. And I said to myself, you know, they're breaking rules. At the end of the day, they're breaking rules. This team that I had thought they ran the school. Our basketball, they were talented, they won games, so they thought they were hot stuff. Okay? They no longer were dependable to their teachers. I couldn't depend upon them to do what they were supposed to do going to class. So I got a few of my, you know, the eighth grade leaders, the guys I know are a little bit more mature than the other kids, and I talked to them about it, and I said, "All right, what's the deal? I'm really annoyed. Like, if a teacher comes to me, it should be he's failing class. He did something. Like, I don't want to have a teacher come to me and give me some garbage like, he's not in class when the bell rings, you know?" So I got a very common response from about 3 to 4 kids that I talked to, and I talked to them all separately. I got the all, "It's not like we're hurting anyone. We're only a few feet away from the classroom. We go to the bathroom because we finished our work, and I don't want to sit there. I get bored." See what I did there? Let's hear it. You cannot depend upon me to keep this thing on my shirt anymore. I am not dependable, that's right. All right, so back to what I was saying. These excuses are not settling with me at all. So that evening at practice, I had a conversation with them, and I'm not going to tell you like the whole rest of it, but I want to get you to the point. I'm not going to tell you how I disciplined them. But I'm thinking about how I want to address this. One of my coaching philosophies is to always do my best to communicate the why to my players in addition to the what. In my experience, kids are more likely to buy in when they understand why a drill or a rule is important. And so when I'm correcting kids, that's a blueprint my father set for me. When he disciplined me, when he spanked me as a kid, he always told me what I did wrong and how I can do it right next time before he spanked me. So that's a personal philosophy that I have. I want to communicate the why. So while I'm going to talk to these kids, I'm thinking about the why, how I can communicate why it's important to just be in class. And, you know, I found myself realizing that the excuses that the kids were giving me, you could argue they're not exactly incorrect. Yeah, they're only a few feet away from the classroom. Yeah, they're bored. They got their work done. Technically, they got all their work done. They're doing, you know, whether they're telling me the truth or not, irrelevant. Technically, you could say they're not incorrect. It can be easy to default to that perspective because it's a defensive mindset, because now we're thinking about, oh, how can I excuse away what I did, right? But it wasn't settling to me. As I communicated with the team how all these little issues can stack together and annoy teachers, and then they can be very distracting, and now all of a sudden other kids are not getting the proper treatment and the proper attention that they need to get, I came to this conclusion with them. This was the overarching why and the overarching point of the lecture I gave the team, and it is, in my head, what I would describe dependability in one sentence. I said to these kids, do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. When we work in life, if you're striving to please your boss first, that's a pretty shallow goal. If you're striving to please your coach or your teacher, as Christians, we have a bigger theme. We have a bigger goal in mind. If I could sum it up, there doesn't have to be an academic reason for what we do at all. I don't need somebody to explain to me why it's important, okay? Don't whine to me. If I tell you to do something, if your coach tells you to do something, just do it. Whether or not you agree with it could not matter any less. And I want you to really search your hearts and ask yourselves, have you cheated yourself doing the right thing, or have you whined about a coach or a teacher before because you thought they weren't giving you the right instruction? You thought you could have done it a little bit better. I know I have, and I know that I probably still will. It's an impulse, it's a fleshy thing that I struggle with every single day, and I believe most of us will. But we're not in control of what our bosses tell us to do. We're in control of what our boss thinks of our work. Ray Lewis, my man, the football player, once said, people will always judge talent however they want. But when you give true effort, no one can judge that. No one can judge it negatively, period. Ultimately, our work is not exclusively for ourselves, it's for Christ. We worship Christ through our actions. We witness to the world through our actions. If our work ethic is bad, if we have a reputation of not getting our homework done, if we have a reputation of being late, if we have a reputation of failing tests, not doing the best that we're capable of doing, of dogging it on the practice field, we are misrepresenting Christ. And that is a very serious offense. Because there are a lot of unsaved people in the world who want to see what it truly means to live a Christian lifestyle. And that is a serious thing if you're cheating yourself in any of these areas. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily for the Lord and not for men. Heartily, wholeheartedly. Another verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. It doesn't have to be an overarching reason. Christianity is about understanding what Christ has done for us. Jesus Christ himself was the ultimate example of dependability. Christians are fully, 100% dependent upon him for life. The cross and everything it represents is what we cling to. When Jesus spoke to the prophet Isaiah that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and a savior was going to be sent, roughly 700 years later, that came to pass, and that was true. We cling to that. He came to this earth of humble beginnings, lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death, so that we can cling to that truth and have hope. We are fully dependent upon him. Jesus lived the dependent lifestyle. He did what he was supposed to, what he said he was going to do. He followed through with things. And we are fully dependent upon him for salvation and for growth. We're fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit in order to feed his truth. We're fully dependent upon his word to change us. That is a true example of dependability. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for all the kids in this room. Those I've gotten to know, I appreciate them, and I appreciate the staff workers. Just help us to meditate on what we've discussed today about what it means to be a dependable person and a dependable worker, Lord. Challenge these kids as athletes. Challenge these kids as students. Challenge these kids as sons and daughters, and challenge these kids as peers to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do as the way that you would have us do things. Bless the rest of our day together. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.